Tampa Bay trades Ben Bishop, gets rid of his salary, to the Los Angeles Kings, who just got Jonathan Quick back, and they give up Peter Budaj. Explain this deal. Like, why does LA make this trade?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people had that question when it came down, and I guess maybe I was in the minority in terms of not being surprised. Everybody took a look at the numbers that Budaj had put up, obviously 28 wins, and I think last I checked, tied for the NHL lead in shutouts at 7. But the reality is the Kings were never sold. Internally, they remained for the most part on the fence with Peter Budaj. We saw it even when he had three-game shutout streak at one point. And, you know, Daryl Sutter, after those games, you know, almost out of the way to say, you know, no tough saves. So there just wasn't a complete and total belief there. I would argue that there's some uncertainty with Ben Bishop coming in terms of his adjustment to a team going to play tomorrow night versus Peter Budaj being comfortable behind that team taking that same start. But hey, the Kings just didn't fully believe ever in Peter Budaj, despite what he did this season. And they figured because of what he did this season, he was going to get a better offer, both in terms and dollars, this summer as an unrestricted free agent than what they were either willing to or could afford to pay him behind the return of Jonathan Quick. So they made the move.
Now, Bishop is a goalie. When you look at his numbers, Kevin, it's very questionable to see if he's a guy who could handle, you know, even like splitting duties was being okay for him. But if he's suddenly one out of every four games, his recent history the last year shows he's not going to be great.
Yeah, you know, and that's the interesting part to me here. But, you know, mentality and mindset can play a big role. So for Ben Bishop, splitting games behind or with Jonathan Quick in L.A. As a pending unrestricted free agent this summer is an opportunity. Versus in Tampa Bay, it was lost opportunity. The starts he wasn't getting because it was clear that Tampa Bay saw Vasilevskiy contract-wise as their future. So mindset, you know, talking to guys who have been traded over the past few years, Devan Dubnyk, Steve Mason, mindset in terms of whether you've been traded before, know what to expect, and how you approach it. Is it an opportunity? Is it a positive? Is it a negative? Goes a long way towards a goalie being able to sort of make that adjustment mentally to a new team. And I think for Bishop, he has to look at it as an opportunity. A team fighting certainly closer to the playoffs than the Tampa Bay Lightning are. A team not necessarily where he has a future, as he didn't in Tampa Bay either, but you know, a chance to kind of go to a different conference, open some different eyes, and prove that he's going to be a top option as an unrestricted free agent this summer. So, you know, there's some positives there. From a system standpoint, the biggest thing I can say about Bishop is he's a guy that, you know, there's sort of a sliding scale in terms of guys who are technical and guys who rely more on timing and rhythm. And he leans, as much as people think of him as a big goalie and a guy who takes up space, he actually leans more towards a reliance on raw skill and rhythm and timing. And a goalie who, you know, has told me over the years, he really relies on seeing the release off the stick. I kind of look at it two ways. You have guys who, every goalie takes information off that release in terms of what they see, stick blade angle, things like that, in terms of where that shot is headed. But different goalies rely on it at different levels, and Bishop is a guy who really relies on it. So would he fit behind a collapsing team that's not going to allow him to see the release? He's not so much a puck tracker as he is a shot reader. And I think the Kings, for the most part, everybody collapses to a certain extent. But for the most part, they're a team that likes to take away the back door, box out, and let goalies, again, on that scale compared to others, see shots more often than not. And I think Bishop, from that perspective, will be a good fit in terms of his style and his preferences behind that system.
Now, looking at Vegas, you know, people say, well, that's who they protect. But he's an unrestricted free agent. Right?
Yeah, he doesn't factor in any way, shape, or form into the expansion draft as a USA. And the Kings they're not in the market. They don't need someone to protect or someone to expose, pardon me. They've still got Zakov, and they also have Jack Campbell as a guy who is eligible for that, a guy that they can expose to the expansion draft this summer. So for the Kings, there's not really a concern there, and there isn't really for Tampa Bay either. Because the guy they had in the AHL, or still have, I guess, in the AHL, the Latvian kid whose name I am cramping on right now, he qualifies for expansion.
Kudlevskis.
Well. So they're covered. Yeah, there you go.
Now, Do you think Ryan Miller would have been a better fit in LA rather than Bishop?
Ooh, better fit? I'm honestly not sure. It's funny, that column I wrote the other day, I talked about Steve Mason, and he said at the end of the day, it's a crapshoot. You can talk about stats, you can talk about systems, you can think about mindset, but until you put a guy behind the system and see how he reads and reacts off different situations, you really don't know. So I like the fit style-wise for Bishop in LA. I think Miller would have been a good fit too. I've had conversations with him here this week. A lot of people look at his struggle to adjust to St. Louis after being traded from Buffalo and think, hey, he's a guy who might, you know, not be a good trade deadline type of goaltender because he really relies so heavily on reads and adjusting to new expectations behind a different system. But he really feels like he's changed his game here, that it is a lot more neutral. And it does not play anywhere near to the extremes that he did when he was in Buffalo. That was a really tough trade. I mean, that one for him to St. Louis, as much as it still gets held against him, that checked all the boxes of not being a fit. He went from Buffalo where it was odd man rush after odd man rush. So a goalie who was aggressive because he was seeing a lot of rush chances, to St. Louis where everything was end zone. First time he'd ever been traded. So in terms of the mentality, expectations and mindset, he was basically walked in there and told he was going to be the difference for them in the playoffs. Style fitting Hitchcock's system. He would make a certain read and bump out above the crease off a defenseman and expect one thing to happen based on what had happened in Buffalo all those years, and it didn't in St. Louis. They played it a different way. So that wasn't a fit for him. I do think he's in a better place to make a quicker transition and would have fit with the Kings. I do know that he was an option for the Kings and a guy that they discussed but had on their list below Bishop. And when I say they discussed Miller in L.A., I believe it wasn't just as a rental. It was possibly as Jonathan Quick's backup for next year. Miller's trade list here in Vancouver has five teams, and they are all tied to keeping him closer to his family. His wife and young son, Bodie, are both in Los Angeles right now where she works as an actress. So, you know, that would be a very, very desirable location for him. Unfortunately, about the only chance of that deal happening for the Canucks was probably 2-3 weeks ago when Tampa took Ben Bishop off the market temporarily. Problem for the Canucks is they were still fighting the Kings for a playoff spot and saw themselves as having a chance. So that would have been a tough trade to make, especially, you know, when the market's so depressed for goaltending, you're only getting draft picks back, probably a lower one.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. So, Kevin, looking for backups, you know, what are fans are wondering, hey, maybe they need a backup over Lauren Brossoit. None of the backups available unless you're going to get Ryan Miller have any sort of playoff experience, right? Guys like Anders Nilsson or Kincaid in New Jersey. Out of those two specifically, Nilsson or Kincaid, does either one seem like a better rental fit for you or maybe even as a backup for next season?
Honestly, no. If those are the two options we're talking about, then I have trouble making an argument that either one of them is better than Lauren Brossoit right now. Obviously, there's less of a system adjustment for Nilsson. I ask you almost, can you see them bringing him back? I mean, listen, he was surprised he was traded. He didn't see it coming. Left me with the impression that, you know, Anders left me the impression that it was a surprise to the goalie coach too. And he's had some success in Buffalo, but I just don't see them after making that deal, whether it was understandable or not, walking it back now.
Yeah, I guess.
So I'd stick with LB, I guess. Yeah, is what I'm saying.
Now, I don't know if you watched the last order game that Brossoit played against Tampa Bay, and now Tampa scored two goals right over his shoulder, which sometimes, like when you see guys getting beat in the same spot, in the same game, it's kind of a rarity. Do you see any concerns at all in Brossoit's ability to stop the high shot?
No, we've talked about it. Yeah, is there a bit of a concern? Is that a bit of a book that's developing, possibly? You know, I've seen him in summer camp situation. That's obviously not the same, but I think there's the patience there. I think there's an understanding of coverage there, and it's just a matter of trusting it and trusting that patience and not, you know, not relying too much on, like, positioning stops pucks, but you still, he's got good enough hands that he can activate them above that positioning. And so sometimes maybe not relying exclusively or as much on his positioning to make stops and getting more active with the hands. Maybe that's part of the development, but I don't think we're at the point where you would call it a concern. I didn't get a chance to watch the Tampa Bay game in its entirety. I watched snippets. I mean, you know, that one, I mean, the highlight of that game was the backdoor, the saucer pass that was thrown for the backdoor one touch as soon as it landed that caught Brisson moving to his right and the shot goes back to his left. I mean, I'm not sure there are many goalies in the league that stop an opportunity like that. So, you know, the thing about over the shoulder is usually guys have to have time and space to pick that spot. And, so it's going to be a bit of both, them taking it away from the middle of the ice especially, and him being a little more patient with it and not so much relying on his coverage, but recognizing that the hands have to be active too. But from what I saw in the snippets I watched, I liked that game for him. It wasn't a game, despite maybe the shot and goal totals, that made me think, oh, they've got to find a better option here. And honestly, you know, you can look at numbers all you want, but when I look at the game of Keith Kincaid and the game of Anders Nilsson right now, I really don't think that's a big upgrade.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Marc-Andre Fleury, do you see a market for him at all at the deadline, or even for Ryan Miller?
You know, I really don't. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. I do see a market for Ryan Miller. And then it's Anaheim, and it's a pretty, hey, listen, no secrets here. Like I said, his trade list is pretty narrow, and it's pretty much teams that keep him close to his family, and that's the Kings who are out, San Jose, Anaheim, maybe Arizona because it's close enough to L.A., and probably Detroit because that's where the rest of his family is. The only ones that fit are San Jose, and I believe they are happy, even though they are not playing Aaron Dell. He's got a .934 save percentage. This is not like last season where they go out and get Reimer because Alex Stalock, you know, couldn't stop a thing. Well, he was terrible as a backup, and they had to make a move there to have an insurance policy. Just even a guy they could play to rest Jones down the stretch. There's not that same sense of panic in San Jose with Aaron Dell. Even though they're riding Jones hard, the only reason they would make a move is if, you know, they were kind of almost worried about Jones getting hurt and you need somebody to replace him. And he's a guy who, style-wise and the way he plays, he's a durable goaltender. So I don't think that's a big concern. The one spot where if I was that team, I might make a move is Anaheim, but they're up against the cap. John Gibson has exceeded my expectations, frankly, as the number one. I thought there was inconsistency in his game right up until this season. I still, you know, still technically, he's still pretty raw, and I haven't seen a ton of improvements there. But his consistency has, for the most part, impressed me this year. That said, he's injury prone, and he's injured right now, and it's a lower body injury. And your options behind him are Jonathan Bernier or Jonas Enroth, called up from the American Hockey League. So if I'm a team like Anaheim, who is all in to win this year, with what they've got in defense and the chances they're going to lose something either on the back end or a Jakob Silverberg up front to expansion with cap issues coming, there's a team that where if it was me, I would consider having that backup insurance policy in place in a Ryan Miller, because they've lost faith from the looks of it in Bernier, who was great early but has struggled since. And like I said, I actually like the changes on Jonas Enroth has made his game in the American League, but this is still a guy who flushed out of Toronto quick and the guy who's doing what he was doing at the American Hockey League level. So there's the one spot I could see as an upgrade, but I'm not hearing anything out of Anaheim that leads me to believe they're eager to make that move, even if it would only cost them a low round draft pick.
Now, what about any, you know, goalies in team systems at times? You know, I know you've talked about Eric Comrie a lot in Winnipeg. They've got Hellebuck. They've got Hutchinson, who probably they could deal tomorrow, I would think. Where's Comrie at in your eyes?
Oh, this is a tough one for me because I have to be careful. I struggle with this one because I see him in the summer and get a chance to get on the ice with him in the summer. And he's a freak. Like, he's just so damn good, Jason. And that's not just me. I remember the first time he came on the ice with Devin Dubnyk, and Dubnyk was like, 10 minutes later, he's like, I'm going home. This just isn't fair. And, you know, Tyler Myers is out there shooting. Curtis Lazar is out there shooting. It was the first time, actually, Myers, I think, had been on the ice or knew who Eric Comrie was in terms of being in the same system with the Jets. And he just couldn't believe the kid. I had a goalie coach in the American Hockey League who knows Eric's game a little bit tell me at the beginning of this season, you could put Eric Comrie in the NHL right now and he would be the best goalie in the NHL right now along the ice. That's how good he is laterally. That's how good he is down low. He's Price-like in his movements, in his efficiency, and in his tracking. He's just not very big, and there are some people who worry about him up high. And will he maybe get exposed, and will there be a learning curve in terms of patience? Problem is, all those things I just said, all that praise, you talk to people who, maybe not necessarily goalie people, but in Winnipeg, and they look at the numbers, and they say he's just not ready. And what I have trouble with is it's hard for me to tell because I don't get to watch a lot of American League games, and the reality is that is a terrible friggin' team in Winnipeg. No, I'm not talking about the Jets. I mean the Manitoba Moose. They are terrible. He was outshot, I think, something like 22-3 in the first period of a game he won this weekend. And if you're the Jets, I would start to worry a little bit long-term about what playing behind a team that terrible does for him over the course in terms of from a development standpoint. As you can tell, I have a lot of praise for him. I've vetted it through other guys, including other NHL goalies that have watched him in the summers. Now, the summer's not game action, but there's so much to like about that kid. I've said it all along. I said it last season, even when everyone was still really high in Hellebuck, I still thought that Eric Comrie was their best prospect, and so I'm not going to back off that now.
I love it, Kevin. I hate guys that sit on the fence. There's definitely no fence in there, so I appreciate it. We will talk to you next Monday. We'll find out if there's any other deals between now and Wednesday involving goaltenders. I don't expect there to be many, but maybe Ryan Miller does get moved or the orders get a backup, and if so, we'll discuss it. Appreciate your time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jason. Now back to the Alex Burrows trade.